Hi, I'm Shane.
And I'm Ishan.
And we're the hosts of Total Party Thrill.
You're listening to Redemption.
I'm Lisa Chen, and I host Behold Her, a monthly podcast that shines a spotlight on women in the world of tabletop games. There are so many women to behold in this amazing hobby, and our experiences as female gamers are as diverse as we are as individuals. Through one-on-one interviews, audio essays, and panel discussions, all centered around a monthly theme, the guests on Behold Her share their unique stories as players, game masters, designers, artists, organizers, and so much more. Their words are inspiring, uplifting, and informative. Check out Behold Her Podcast wherever podcasts are found, or visit beholdherpodcast.com.
This is Redemption, an actual play podcast set in the Star Wars role-playing game system, with Chris Berlew as the GM and also the droid R3A1.
Also, if you're an evil guy in a cave trying to monologue, he'll shoot you.
Andy Fox as the mysterious Duros Isla Zarla.
I mean, to be fair, he's not used to sitting in the back.
Kaylee Jung as the Twi'lek Jedi Knight Karel.
Oh yeah, sand is the glitter of desert planets.
May as the Twi'lek Jedi Knight Nissinda.
I have some things to wrap up after we're finished here.
And Michael Waldschlager II as the Duros pilot Tazi.
You might want to shake the glitter out of it.
Episode 511, Brawl on Boonta. Traveling across the wrecked landscape of Boonta, the crew look into a bounty, but then several of them are visited by visions and omens. Could the mask that Karel seeks be reaching out to the crew before it is even acquired?
Important safety tip, Tazi is in command and in control of the ship unless he hands it over voluntarily to someone else. I'm just going to make a point right now of saying that is how it is done.
Okay, I can deal with that.
Okay.
Thanks, Karel. That didn't make anyone else feel like Kark.
Did I mention any names?
No, but you don't have to.
Well, I was attempting to let somebody who hasn't been on the ship a long time possibly sidestep a landmine that she might run into because somebody else already stepped on it, and I was trying to make that person feel a little better by not mentioning their names, but I'm pretty sure everybody now knows who everybody else is.
Yeah, so just to make it real, let's just be plain about it. I don't like having the ship taken away from me, like, mid-activity or combat without my knowing it.
Oh.
It's happened before, and it was done in a good way, or for a good reason.
With good intentions.
Yes, good intentions. I'm not a big fan of that happening without my say-so or my buy-in. So if there's an issue, if you feel like I'm doing something that's putting us in danger, please be very clear about the fact that you feel that way, and we will talk about it at that point, or take action at that point. But
I apologize.
If I'm mid-maneuver and suddenly I lose control at the helm and it goes to another station in the ship, I get real mad.
Well,
to be fair, we were going to die.
Yeah, no.
Important safety tip, let's just say it's learned and we'll move on.
That's okay. What I said. I said it was done with good intentions, and it was done with,
no intention of doing that. Yep. Or anything similar.
Well, that's, again, just it was just being brought up, I guess, to be to prevent you from having to step on that particular, as Karel put it, landmine.
Well, I mean, doesn't seem like a landmine.
It's just
a little tense.
But
it's okay.
I don't get too mad about too much too often, but usually when it comes to the ship, I can be, I can get a little upset.
Testy,
yeah. That's a good word for it.
Nissinda sees Karel very subtly kind of waggling a hand, denoting her, feeling towards what Tazi just said.
Yep. Also, if you're an evil guy in a cave trying to monologue, he'll shoot you.
Look, sometimes it just goes on. Some people don't know when the conversation is over, okay?
Hey, you're good.
All right, so where are we going? To the ruins?
I think, yeah, we can go to the ruins, and then maybe we'll come back if we don't find anything and have a nice inexpensive meal, and we can ask around about the two-toed duck.
Yeah, that sounds good.
We can ask about the two-toed duck while we're out trying to find the ruins.
Well, I'm expecting that in an abandoned ruins, there'd be nobody to ask.
Unless the two-toed duck there.
I mean, if we see a two-toed duck, I don't even think we need to ask him. Like, we can just say, hey,
No, I think we actually have to ask. We have to identify who they are before we take
them. Don't we have to take the bounty first?
I mean, yeah, if we take it, it'll give us more info. All
right, well, like, I guess let's take that one, I guess.
Yeah, let's take that one, because otherwise, if we just go up and go, hey, you're a two-toed Doug, please wait here while we accept your bounty, he may run away.
He could be polite.
So, Chris, I'd like to use a light side point, please.
Okay, got it.
Isla punches a couple things in on her data pad. So, two-toe Malone is a Doug with two toes, and is often seen taking off from Boonta, but not any of the cities. They think that he is hiding in some ruins about 2 hours outside of the city. Wait. That's convenient.
Ruins, huh? Outside the city?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that probably means it's probably a little less likely that we'll find the hat there. But, you know, hey, we still have to look. And if he's there, we can take advantage of it.
What if he's wearing the hat?
If he's wearing the hat, well, I don't know.
He'll be really hard to defeat?
I don't know. We don't know anything about the hat. The hat is a mystery.
We'll liberate it from him.
Yes. Yes, we will.
Yes.
All right, let's go.
Good phrasing.
Yes, let us go.
More walkie, less talkie.
So we go.
Hey, can I have one of your guys' comms?
Oh, yeah.
Hang on. We've got an extra.
Get off the ship.
A1, grab Kao's comm and repurpose it.
You might want to shake the glitter out of it.
It'll smell like cinnamon.
Coconut.
I can't smell. Doesn't matter to me.
It smells like coconut and a little bit of sadness.
And some shame.
It's an odd smell.
I mean, to be fair, that is sort of Kao's signature musk.
Oh.
To be honest, the Sunglepod just smelled like sadness, too. But, I mean, you get used to it.
It still does.
I don't think it smells like sadness.
I didn't think that's what sadness smells like. I mean, it's weird.
Hey, Tazi, what's that you're drinking?
Oh, it's a...
It's kind of purpley.
It's a little home remedy I made up. No, I got it's a little bit of bantha milk and some of the stuff that goes into a golden pod racer and the stuff I found in Kao's like storage area.
Did you double check that stuff?
No, it's fine. I've used it before. It feels good on my throat, so.
Have you had D4 run that through like a... There it goes. Oh.
It's too late.
Okay. Well,
it tastes like what comes out of the fresher.
It might be truth serum.
It's the same color.
I don't know. Ask me something.
Is your mother an escort?
I've already told you no, so, yeah.
Oh, okay. Then it's not truth serum.
Hey, D4?
Yes?
Can you do a chemical analysis of what he just drank based on the residue?
It is a mild form of cough medicine.
So I told you, it's...
The thing that's in Kao's... That was in Kao's closet, it's perfectly, you know, safe to drink?
Well, I didn't drink the truth serum. He labeled it truth serum, I mean...
Okay, Kao's never labeled anything accurately in his life.
It was labeled truth serum, so I didn't take
that. Then it's probably not truth serum. That's probably poison.
This was labeled cough remedy.
So, how long has he been gone and you haven't went through any of his things?
I mean, it's, you know...
It's been a few months.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, we figured, you know, it'll be there. If he comes back, it's there, you know. I mean, obviously, minus a little bit of cough remedy now.
Yeah. Okay.
But his clothes will be clean. He's happy about that. I'm sure he'll be happy about that.
Just in the form of pillows.
We can unstuff the pillows, and they're still his clothes.
We'd have to do something about the right leg on all of his pants, though.
True.
The what?
The right leg.
Is it missing?
Well, he's got a right leg now.
It's different sized.
It's bigger and mechanical.
Yeah. And leaks oil sometimes when it's shot.
Well, I mean, that's all legs leak something when they're shot.
True.
It's pretty wise. Mm-hmm. You're wise, Isla.
Thank you, Isla, like, blushes.
All right, if we're done patting each other's backs and talking about cough remedies, can we go now?
Sure.
Shotgun.
Yeah.
Backseat.
Carl goes and gets in the speeder.
A1 climbs on the back.
Wait, who's driving?
Who always drives?
It's kind of my job. I mean, unless if you want to drive, go ahead. I mean, I'm usually the person that drives.
I don't know how to drive these things. I'm always driven or I walk.
All right.
Isla, do you want to drive?
Sure.
All right.
Tazi, you can have shotgun.
That's fine. I'll get in the back.
Krog gets in the back. They both, like, squeeze into the same seat.
Everyone's in the back seat, and Isla's up front by herself.
Oh, this is fun.
A1, get what? You gotta move, buddy.
Scoot over.
You're in the way.
You're sitting on the belt.
I'm in the middle.
Nacinda moves up by Isla. That's just too much.
Yeah, that's
too close.
And we cut over to seeing the speeder stop at the ruins. And it's a desert area, and it's ruins that are actually in the side of a mountain. And you can see where Explorer Corps has been carving into the mountain to actually get to the ruins.
Maybe Isla brings the speeder in kind of sideways, like, you know, throws the brakes on, and, like, a little tuft of sand is, like, kicked up by the back end of the speeder as it, like, kind of spins around.
Yeah, hockey stop.
Tazi throws the door open and, like, takes three steps and, like dry heaves into the sand.
Tazi, are you okay? You should not have taken whatever was in Chaos' thing.
No, we just...
Her driving was just fine.
No, we took those corners a little fast. That's all.
The corners? Are you kidding me?
Kuro gets out of the speeder, but she's very clearly holding on to the speeder, like she's not quite sure of her footing.
Maybe it was just the people sitting in the back seat. I was fine.
Yeah, I thought so.
I'm good.
Tazi, are you okay?
I'm fine. Hold on, just give me a minute. I'm good. I'm fine. All right, I'm fine. I'm good.
All right. Well,
I know some people get sick in the back.
I'm not used to sitting in the back. This is... I don't like it.
I mean, to be fair, he's not used to sitting in the back.
Okay, important safety tip. When we go out to ruins, let's try and not go, like, right at sunset. I mean, it's pretty and all, but by the time we get out, it's going to be dark.
But it's super cool.
Yeah, look at how the sun comes through.
Well, last time we were in some ruins, I think it was a fight to the death.
Which time?
That's a good point.
How many times have you guys did this?
Well, the second time we were in ruins also.
Yeah. Ruins aren't good luck for us.
No, not really.
No.
Oh.
You're like archaeologists or something.
No, we just happen to end up in ruins because it's...
My fault, actually, on the first ruins.
Do you usually end up in ruins on ice planets?
No, we've been...
Actually, we haven't been on an ice planet in a while. I'm kind of missing it a little.
They're my favorite planets.
We haven't been on an ice planet since Naos 3.
True.
And that really wasn't an ice planet, more of a, like, wintry tundra planet.
Hey, look, the thing we're supposed to investigate, over here.
Curl grabs, like, a pack from the speeder and pulls out, like, a torchlight.
Okay.
Tazi would like to take a minute and look around to see if there's any, like, footprints. I mean, this is supposed to be an abandoned area. Does it look like it's abandoned?
Explorer Corps has been here recently, so there's going to be signs of that. If you want to look for anything really in-depth, perception check.
All right. Difficulty?
3 purple.
Let's see. Tazi's perception is not great, so we'll see how this goes. 1 success and 2 threats.
As you're looking for footprints, you find these little kind of 3-4-toed imprints in the sand, and as you're kind of following them up, you get up near the edge of the ruins, and dropping off the walls above you are these large bat-like creatures that come flying down, and they've got like a long prehensile tail, and 4 of them actually jump out at you.
Nah!
2 successes, so 7 damage.
Griff! Ow! Ah!
And we'll drop into initiative.
Roll your cool.
Go ahead.
2 successes and 1 advantage.
I got 4 successes, 2 advantages.
3 successes, 4 advantages for Tazi.
1 success, 2 advantage.
All right. First PC.
Tazi's caught off guard. He's going to pull his pistol, but... I think in the 4 of them attacking him, he probably stumbles like and kind of like goes back on his haunches into the sand.
Okay.
So he loses his footing on that first attack. He's kind of caught off guard.
Okay. Next PC.
I'm going to shoot it.
All right.
Not Tazi.
Defense is 1. 1 purple and 1 black die.
1 purple, 1 black die?
Yep.
I rolled 3 advantages. So maybe I scare the bats a little bit, like I miss, but I scare them.
Okay, so they get a black die. Next PC.
So I see the bats coming down at Tazi, and I pull out my blaster pistol and try to fire at the closest one to him.
All right. One purple and one black die.
I have 8 advantages and 3 failures.
What would you like to do with the 8 advantages? For every 2, you could assign somebody a blue die. For every 2, you could give a black die to the bad guys. For every 1, you could give the next person a blue die. Add something to the scene that's not there that might be helpful. That kind of stuff.
I would suggest, for funsies, if you're going to give them black dice, maybe your shots triggered some rocks to fall on them and they have to dodge them on their next attack.
Sounds kind of cool.
Or even for our blue dice, so they have to stick close to the ground.
I like the rocks falling because that would kind of make them lower and easier to hit, possibly. Okay. So I'll do the black die. The shot kind of ricocheted off some of the stones up above and started making it crumble and fall down on top of the bats.
Okay. Next PC, A1 will pull out his trusty holdout blaster and try to shoot at him. Hey, he had just 2 successes. He fires and clips one of them on the wing and kind of hobbles in the air. Corell, you're the last one to go.
After hearing several blasters going off and, like, Tazi screaming, ow, 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 Corell comes back out of the ruins, kind of shining her torch up towards the bat-like creatures that are attacking, and also pulls her pistol and will take a shot at one of them.
Okay, just a purple and a black.
That's a lot of blank dice. Out of my 6 dice are blank.
It really is. It's a lot of blank dice.
Wow.
So Corell misses with 2 advantages. So while her shots go wide, because these things are darting here and there and everywhere, her torchlight makes it a lot easier for Tazi to take a shot at the next one. You get a blue die.
Okay. It is their turn. The 4 of them are flying in, and they will stay on you, Tazi. 2 successes and 1 triumph. So 7 more damage. And the triumph, you hear them emanate a very loud, high-pitched sound, and you can hear more of them dropping from up high in the mountains coming down towards you guys. Next PC.
Isla's going to take another shot at one of the Lolf bats. 2 advantages. Yay. So I would like to maybe clip one of the bats in the wing to give them a black die.
Okay. Got it. Next PC.
Tazi will look up at the group and try and take a couple shots from the ground. And what's my difficulty?
1 purple, 1 black. They're in short range.
And I get a blue die from Corell, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Triumph and 2 successes with 2 advantages. So 3 successes total.
All right. What's your damage?
It'll be 17. And I do not trigger a crit.
You can with the triumph.
Yeah, actually I can. What else can I do with the triumph again, Chris?
You could upgrade somebody else's dice.
I'm going to give Nisinda an upgrade.
Okay. Fire a hail of blaster fire up there, and 3 of them actually drop out of the sky. And it is actually the next wave of bats dropping down. Has dropped down and is going after Corell.
How many bats are there?
I think this is bat country.
4 more are dropping in right now. What's your defense?
Melee defense is 1.
Can we just, like, run away from these things?
We could run inside.
They just keep coming.
Okay, let's do that. Let's run inside, recklessly.
All right, 7 points of damage. As the 4 of them flutter around and scratch you with their tails and claws and bite at you with their teeth.
Okay.
Next PC.
Now, are they darting in and then flying away?
They're kind of a little swarm around you. And they're flapping their wings and they're attacking you. Same thing with Tazi, only there's 1 left in front of Tazi now.
Okay. At that point, Corell drops her pistol to the ground, drops the torch to the ground, and pulls her lightsaber to attack the group. Mm-hmm. Now that they're in melee.
1 defense is all they have.
The torchlight falls to the ground, and then the violet color of Corell's lightsaber illuminates the area around her. 3 successes, 7 advantages. That's going to be 14 points of damage. Corell just cuts in kind of a rhythmic, almost a figure eight pattern as the bats swarm around her,
and there's just a shower of severed wings and bodies falling to the floor. And, like, within 2 seconds, she just stands in a pile of dead bats.
All right. Next PC. All right. A1 will take aim at the one.
Are there more bats?
There's one flying in front of Tazi. A1 will take aim and fire at it. And he fires his holdout blaster, and it strikes the bat right in between the eyes, right in front of Tazi's face. Got it.
A good shot.
Wow. It's pretty amazing.
And you can hear the sounds of more coming your way. You can't quite see him yet.
We should probably get out of here.
All right, everybody inside.
Yeah, let's go.
Tazi scrambles to his feet.
And we all hustle inside.
You got some stuff on you, Karel.
Yeah, it's not going to wash off easy. Grab my blaster and the torch, would you? I'll bring up the rear.
Got it.
Okay.
I really want a lightsaber.
They're kind of handy.
Once we get inside, she'll deactivate and take her stuff back.
Okay. Thanks. Okay, those things were... Oh, they're very smelly.
Hey, Karel, at what point do I get a lightsaber?
What?
We'll be back with more Redemption right after these messages.
Hey, everybody, let's just take a moment and talk about Hero Forge. Hero Forge is a company that offers fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of races and thousands of parts to choose from. All you have to do is use your web browser, and you can utilize their easy-to-use, fully 3D, in-depth character creator and build your perfect miniature. Hero Forge offers custom minis in a variety of materials, including plastic and metal options. You can also get downloadable model files to use on your own 3D printer. Hero Forge is constantly expanding their catalog of customized options, adding new parts every week, and major features like races and custom posing. Please go visit heroforge.com and start designing your custom miniature today. And then check back often for all their new content. Again, that is heroforge.com.
And now back to our show.
Hey, Karel, at what point do I get a lightsaber?
What?
Nacenda looks at Karel and blinks.
We'd have to see if the temple will accept you, and then you'd probably have to go through, 13 or 14 years of training, and then they'll teach you how to build one.
But didn't you get a lightsaber before you were a Jedi?
Well, yeah, but they had to teach me how to build one.
But,
I mean, I could...
You could teach me how to build one.
I could build you a training saber to use if you want to practice with it.
You think that's good?
Well, look, I know I'm not, like, an actually trained Jedi, but I'm good with a sword.
Well, why weren't you using your sword out there?
Because...
Where's your sword?
It's on my back. I thought a blaster would be better, given the situation.
Well, yeah, a blaster was better until they closed to melee. I'm not the shot Nacenda is, so when they swarm me, it just seemed a lot easier to, you know, do that then. But they don't seem to want to come in here, so at least we're safe now.
For now.
Tazi's brushing sand off of his flight suit.
Are you okay, Tazi?
I guess I just, you know, sand gets everywhere. Ugh.
Oh, yeah, sand is the glitter of desert planets.
100%.
Well, we're here now.
I won't say I hate sand, but I intensely dislike sand at the moment.
That's probably fair.
I mean, like, beach sand is nice.
I'm saying this is just... I know I'm going to be getting this, digging this out. Anyway, let's keep moving, right? There's no more bats, we're good.
Okay.
They're not coming in here.
Karel shines her torch around to see what the room we're in looks like.
As you shine the light around, the first thing you notice is at the entrance, there are two large statues, probably 3, almost 4 meters tall, and they show two warriors with large swords, and they're kneeling down, looking towards the sky, and they have long robes on, and they're carved out of stone.
That's cool. Who do you think those people are?
I don't know. It's some decent work, though.
I guess that's why Explorer Corps was here, right? These are supposed to be the pre-hut people, I assume?
I'm not sure. They don't look at these.
Oh, but they look pretty awesome.
I mean, they do look different than...
They have swords. Look, you have a sword.
Yeah, I mean, all the cool people carry swords.
I mean, well, yes. But they don't look anything like the huts, so...
Right, so I'm just saying... I'm gonna look around on the floor to see if there's any recent tracks.
Perception check. 3 purple.
Is there anything on these pictographs that looks like a hat? Or, you know,
No.
A hat. Finger quote. Hat.
A hat.
I got it.
You don't have to do finger quotes.
Okay, I'm just, you know, that's your, okay. A hat.
You don't see anything that resembles the hat you're looking for, is it?
I have 6 successes and 2 advantages.
Really, all that you see are what you would expect from a...
A dig site?
Yes. Yeah, you can see more of the bat-like creature's footprints in here.
Hey, guys, look at this. I mean, there's a lot of boots, but look at the talony things.
Yeah, that looks like what I found before I got attacked.
Corell kind of looks up warily to see if there are bats in the ceiling.
Not in this area. Not at the moment.
Okay.
Well, we can try to follow.
The bats?
You think it's maybe Tuto?
No, the footprints. No,
those... These marks look like the marks that were around when I got attacked. That's what I'm trying to say. Like the, I think those marks are the marks of the bats, or whatever those things were.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Crawl on the ground. I don't know.
But why would the bats walk through here?
You find some bones of some dead animals on the
ground. I mean, they fly. What? Yeah.
Are these prints far enough apart that it would have been like a dog walking and not a bat, or is this clearly the same tracks?
It's clearly the bats.
Okay.
As you guys are looking at that, Nisinda, you're drawn over to one of the statues, and like I said, they're both looking out at the sky. You are very heavily drawn towards the west, and as you're looking out in that direction, in your mind, you envision a cave, and you have this sudden feeling that in the cave will lead you to the future that you desire.
And I'm just staring off to the west.
Correct.
So Nisinda's staring off to the west, and she gets this kind of cold feeling in her chest. My hand comes up to my chest and kind of clutches at a hidden necklace underneath her shirts. She sees herself walking up towards one of her jobs she's been after for several years. She's walking up to a droid that's laying on the ground. Parts have been dismantled. It's twitching, and the camera pans over the droid, and you see the image of Hixa, and her vision brightens back to the ruins and where everybody's at. She drops her hand to her side and looks around at the group.
The group who have noticed none of this are just kind of milling about the room and looking at things. Corell's looking for like any passages that lead deeper into the ruins or anything like that, or is it just one room, Chris?
It's not a very big area, but there's several little smaller places where it'd be like living areas built into the side of the mountain, and then the rest is like a main central meeting area. So there'd be like a large fire pit area in the middle.
Tazi keeps looking for tracks, but then also like every couple minutes, he's like pointing his gun up toward the ceiling and like looking around to prevent any more sneak attacks.
Hey, Nisinda, are you okay?
What? Oh, no, I'm fine. Everything's fine. I was just thinking. I have some things to wrap up after we're finished here.
Okay.
It's okay. Come on. Yeah. Look, we're fine. Let's go see the rest of the group, and I'll grab your arm and kind of trot along happily back to the group as I turn and look over my shoulder back to the west.
At this point, Carol's kind of just standing in the middle, just with her eyes closed, just kind of reaching out with her force senses, trying to detect if there's anything here with a force signature other than her friends.
Make a discipline check. 3 purple.
Once I cancel out everything, I have 1 success.
Okay. You reach out with the force. You can feel everything is alive like you expect. In the west, though, something has shadowed to your vision.
Is it close or distant? Can I get a sense of that?
It's a faint feeling that you have in the distance. Not something you could walk to.
Okay, there's... I don't think there's anything here. There's something...
There's things here.
Well, no, I mean, there are no hats here.
Okay. As far as I can tell. The hat's not here. Got it.
Right. But there's something off to the west that might be vaguely hat-shaped.
Maybe. I don't know. We should look around here more.
Well, I mean, I guess we could. There could be something that's kind of veiled from our sight.
Well, you don't feel anything.
No, here. Nothing here. No.
And we all kind of agree that whatever we're looking for is likely
to be force related.
Force
yeah.
sensitive. Or
yeah,
force
I
related.
Think so at this point.
Well, I mean, if you don't feel anything, Nisinda, do you feel anything here?
She looks.
I mean, am I allowed to ask that? I mean,
you can. Yes.
Yeah, okay. You can ask. That's fine. It's. We should probably spend some more time around here first, and then you know.
Okay, but I mean,
do you feel anything here?
We're fine. Everything's fine.
We'll just check all the rooms. I mean,
okay.
I mean, she's obviously got a feeling that something might be here, so let's just kind of look.
She didn't say that she felt like something was here. That's why I was asking.
No, I understand.
Okay, sorry.
No need to be sorry.
I'm gonna go look in this room over here.
I'll go over here and check this one.
And Tazi slips through a doorway.
I don't have a good feeling about this.
No, everything's fine. Don't worry, Isla. We're good. Like, everything's gonna be fine.
So you guys spend some time looking around the ruins, and you don't find any clues to where the mask is in the ruins. These are just ancient ruins that the Explore Corps has gone through and excavated and recently left.
Does that sense that Nisinda feels, does it ever wane, or does it stay?
It does not go away. You are drawn to that area. And you're drawn to that area in more of a positive feeling, like this is where you should be.
Okay.
Like it's calling to you.
Well, there's obviously nothing here, and it'd be pointless to keep looking. Maybe we should go this direction for a little while.
Yeah, I'll go with you, Nisinda.
All right, everybody back to the speeder, then. And we'll take it further west. Once Tazi's done tinkling in the corner.
What? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, that happens sometimes. But, sorry.
Oh. He has a very small Derosian bladder.
He's old.
Yeah, mine is actually made out of metal now, so I'm pretty good.
That's something I didn't know about you.
Oh, yeah, see, at one point in time, I got hit by a spaceship.
Not my fault.
Oh,
nope,
right.
Not my fault either.
I knew that part.
Yeah, no, it was Kao's fault, let's be honest. Oh. And a bunch of my stuff got replaced with technology, so technically I'm a cyborg.
A cute one, though.
Thank you.
Oh, well, you're kind of sturdy then.
Yeah.
Well, except in, like, this region here takes bumps real easy. And Tazi kind of moves his hand around his head.
We don't talk about that.
Oh.
Well, not that we don't talk about that. I don't like to be reminded of that. That's what I was trying to say.
So let's go to the speeder, and we will head off to the west and see what we find.
Okay.
As you guys are traveling west, Isla's driving. Tazi, you're in the front seat. And as you're going, Tazi, your vision dims for a minute. And then you see yourself sitting in the cockpit of the Crowlet's Fang, and you get the feeling that if you continue heading in the direction you're going, you can have the future you want. What would that future look like?
There is a shot of the Crowlet's Fang, like, from above in a crowded, like, a crowded platform with a bunch of other ships with what looks like a logo on them, and the logo is of, like, the family shipping company. And as you zoom in to the ships, you see Tazi walking with Isla, and there are a couple of smaller Duro with them, and they're all in flight suits. And you see Tazi lift one of the smaller Duro up toward, like, one of the ships, and the little Duro, like, kind of clambers onto it, and he's, like, kind of making faces and dancing around the ship, and Tazi's kind of laughing, and Isla's laughing, and there seems to be, like, some general feeling of happiness.
As the vision kind of starts to fade out, you hear one of the children say,
"Daddy, can you pick me up with your mind next time? I know you can do it."
And then you're back in the speeder heading west.
What the griff? What?
And you have this overwhelming feeling if you continue the direction you're going, that will be your future.
Did anyone else just feel that?
I'm not a bad driver.
No. Did anyone... Something just kind of pulled me to the west.
Like,
well, that's where we're going.
No, like, not you're driving. Something.
Like, you need to go. You have to go.
Like, I feel like something is pulling me. Like, my future will be good if we go to the west. Did that happen to anyone else just now?
No.
Maybe before.
What do you mean, maybe before? Like,
back at the ruins.
So you got a pull to the west, too?
Yeah.
What?
We need to go there. There's something there. Something causing this. Like, it's weird.
Okay. I'm a little weirded out. I agree we need to go check this out, but we need to know if it happens to anybody else.
Well, just tell us if you want to go west. For more than normal reasons, whatever normal would be with this group.
Okay, one important thing. This could be the mask, like, influencing you. Please do not give in to whatever it is.
The hat.
You're right. This could be the hat influencing you.
Subtle.
Please do not wear it in any way, shape, or form.
How's it influencing me, though? I don't have a connection to...
If it's a strong enough thing, it could... Every living thing is part of the Force, and the Force is part of every living thing.
Okay, that's right. You mentioned that. Okay, yep.
It's the same sort of thing here.
You're right. I get it. I forgot.
Yeah.
Tazi, what did you see?
It's not important right now. Just that my... I got this overwhelming feeling that the future would be as I want it to be, if that makes sense.
Am I in it?
You were all there. You, Isla, Scarecrow.
What?
Scarecrow.
Is Scarecrow another droid we pick up on the way?
I don't know. I would got plenty of droids.
Yeah, A1, no, you were all present in some form or fashion.
What fashion?
I mean...
Was I taller?
You were you. Yeah. Corella was Corella, Isla was Isla. We were all there. Anyway, it's not important what my future looks like or what I think it should look like, but it's just this thing pulled, whatever this is pulling me to the west, saying, if we go there, my future will be what I want it to be.
Okay. I'm guessing where we're going in the right spot.
Interesting.
I'm actually kind of worried about this. Like, maybe we should... Like, the people who have gotten visions maybe shouldn't go?
I can control them.
I mean, I think it's just a vision. I mean, it didn't make me do anything.
Yeah, but, I mean, that means, like, the hat is reaching out to you, and you're probably less likely to see things as they are.
Well, we don't know that, though. We're just guessing.
And as long as you're aware of it, you'll be aware of the effects on your mind. So, again, do not touch it. It may be calling out to you... Maybe promising you things, but there's no point in doing it.
We have to find it first.
Yeah, we have to find it.
And we don't even know if that's what this is.
Correct.
All right, then. Let's keep going.
And Tazi kind of settles in and like quietly is looking out the window.
Wonder how much farther.
Carl's going to reach out with her senses again to see if she can tell how much further. Are we there yet?
You travel for another hour, and as you've been traveling, you've noticed that you're slowly going more uphill. And you're increasing in elevation.
Okay.
And you eventually get to a spot where it opens up into a large canyon, and you can't travel the speeder anymore, because you'd just be dropping straight off a cliff face.
Isla will stop before the cliff face. There's a giant cliff.
Well, I'm glad you stopped.
Let's
stay on this side of it.
If we could not go over, that's good.
Yeah, that looks like a long drop.
Well,
on foot.
Wait, do we have to go into the? Do we go down there? Is that?
I think we need to keep going that way.
Well, we can't keep going. I mean, not in the speeder.
Right. We have to go on foot.
All right.
I know you don't like feet.
No, I don't like climbing.
He he likes feet. He doesn't like climbing.
I'm a fan of feet. I don't like climbing.
Right.
Wow.
This episode is brought to you by Kobold Press. Now, with the complete Kobold Guide to Game Design offering a second edition. Kobold Guide to Game Design is the ultimate resource for gamers, GMs, and designers. The Emmy-winning first edition of the complete Kobold Guide to Game Design laid out concepts, techniques, and advice for designing role-playing games and enhancing adventures. Now the second edition brings together essays from the original volume, many updated to reflect the changing game design landscape, as well as new essays by veteran designers such as Jeff Grubb from Dragonlance, Forgotten Realms, and Guild Wars, Kelly Pollack from Midgard Sagas and Empire of the Ghouls, and many more. Get practical, thought-provoking essays on world-building, creating magic systems, conflict, and compelling stories, what to expect when you work a design professional, and much, much more. Conceptual chapters examine what game design is and how good design can create the best games. Concrete examples provide models to help you create well-rounded designs and exciting adventures. Get the complete Kobold Guide to Game Design 2nd Edition now at KoboldPress.com.
Our Patreon backer for this episode is Angela from friend of the show, Fandible. They have a great podcast, and you should check them out as well. Angela, thank you for supporting us. It really means a lot.
A1, I can read Arabesh. I don't need... All right, fine. Redemption is played using the Star Wars role-playing game system from Fantasy Flight Games and Lucas Books. If you enjoy Redemption, reach out to us on social media. Facebook and Twitter are @RedemptionPod, and our website is redemptionpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram at Redemption Podcast. Please review the show on whatever podcatcher you use. This not only helps people find the podcast, it also really helps the crew feel better about themselves. If you like our crew, you can toss a few credits our way at patreon.com/redemption. Thank you, all of you. All right, A1, how is that? I can read, okay?